And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot for Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a farewell edition of the, we'll call this the Warriors Plus Minus podcast.
Are we going somewhere? We're resigning?
We out? This is the last one?
One of us could. I mean, technically, if you wanted.
One of us does not have a contract. No, never mind. We don't have to get into that. Just made me start thinking. Bob Myers, like, what did you think of just Bob Myers' mood, what he said, the kind of the attitude? Was it any different than you thought, or was it this is the way Bob Myers is going to go out?
Well, we all know this, but like, he's like, I mean, we've seen him break down on the podium before on random stuff. Like, you knew the tears were coming at some point today. I thought it was interesting that he got through Joe, he got through the players, he got through Steve Kerr, and he started breaking down talking about the fans. Yeah, it was the fans that got to him.
Yeah. The 10-year-old Bob Myers sitting up, up the top of Oracle Arena. That got him.
And it's because he just talked to Larry Smith with our Dan Brown. He got all emotional about his days wearing a hard hat.
Yeah, no, so I mean, it was reflective. I mean, again, I think sometimes, and I catch myself with this sometimes, like, you know, we're so in the moment, you know, what's next to the GM? Wow, this, you know, second round exit this year, what, you know, how are they going to rearrange stuff? Then you do go to a press conference like this, and you're like, man, they've done a lot of stuff over the last decade, right? You know, even Joe up there going through the Iguodala sign and trade, yeah, that they executed, obviously, up to Durant, 2019, coming back from 2019. They didn't even mention it. How about the D'Angelo Russell to Andrew Wiggins, yeah, Jonathan Kuminga trade? I mean, that got them another title.
They think of that as 2019, though, because to get Russell and the Durant trade is how they ended up with Wiggins. But it was all these things. Yeah, and I think that's the right tone for Bob to take. It was the right tone for, we talked later about Joe's energy, but the achievements that they've gotten through, the things that Bob has helped them get and has set this, and I think one of Bob's big things was this franchise is fine. Like, things are built. I don't know, you know, again, we'll see what happens in the future, but that this, he isn't, you know, abandoning a sinking ship. He isn't, you know, breaking this all up. We shall see. But I think he is a little sensitive to the fact that, you know, okay, now it's all over. Like, it was good for a while, and now Bob's leaving, and it's all going to crash. I think the franchise is very sensitive to that, and I think Bob's, a lot of his commentary was not only that they've achieved a lot, but that this franchise can still achieve more after him. We shall see. You got Steph Curry on the team. You know, there's still certainly possibilities, but they did not want this to be pictured, you know, kind of positioned as the beginning of you know, some dark time. And maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. But that Chloe was their thing.
It was, to me, what stood out was, it really doesn't sound like he's going to another team soon, right? Like, it sounded like, take a year off.
Yeah, but
Joe
was super skeptical. Joe, he's like, I think he'll probably do this again. I think he may do it again soon.
Yeah. I felt like if he goes and signs with another team in the next couple months, Then that was all fake. He's just saying that.
You couldn't watch Clippers when he was 11 years old, go up into the stands somewhere and watch them?
No, it's just that, like, he can't give it his all. You got to give 1,000%. He can't do that. That's the job. It doesn't sound like a guy who is mentally, emotionally able to do the job right now.
And by the way, like, I very much believe he's not, no, right? And
at
like,
least not, for you, at least for you.
Yeah,
at least
not, for you. That's what I'm saying, for a year. Yeah. If it sounded like he's in year off mode, right? It sounded like Like, we didn't know if, hey, Ballmer would come. Here's 15, 20 million, come running. He's like, all right, I'm out. But that feels like it's out of the equation. It feels like he's going to sit down for a while and kind of recalibrate, do a few podcasts, you feel me?
I think he's going to be in the studio, ESPN, like July 2nd. You know, but that's good. Now, he wants to do these things. He wants to kind of, you know, feel what his role could
have
be.
His own, make his own schedule, yeah,
I mean,
right?
Yeah, exactly. In a media world, in whatever world that isn't, okay, I got this draft workout now, and I've got to talk to these five agents, and I got to figure out who, you know.
And I have to answer Joe Lacob's call for the 20th time today. I love how Joe said he believes he calls him between 5 and 20
and
times.
I believe him. We can get into that. I think I want to write about that, just that dynamic we saw. I mean, I think we all know what the dynamic with Joe is, all three of us, but maybe that's not, you know, visible or palpable to the outside. But, man, it was in total, you know, everyone saw it right there, full panoramic view of what it is like to work for Joe Lacob.
My favorite part, in that realm was when Joe was like, and I'm going to work you until June 30th because that's when your contract's up.
Bob looks at his wife.
Bob looks right at his wife. He's like, he was talking about happy hour, right? He's there on the way home. We're getting a drink. Meanwhile, Joe's like, a month still left on the clock. That, I thought, was one of the funnier parts of the whole thing.
Yes, and very, you know, not at all different than, you know, we've all seen and heard about this franchise. But this is how you're great. I mean, I'll defend Lacob in some ways. I mean, it's a little comical to watch, but this is how you try to stay great. Like, you've got to work every angle, every moment. And I thought Myers, I tweeted this, I really believe that he was a perfect top executive for Joe Lacob, because Lacob's going to demand you work every angle. He's going to demand you wake up at 3:00 in the morning. He's going to text you at 3:30 in the morning, but it's in order to try to be as great as possible, work every single thing you possibly can. That's how you get from Durant to Russell to Wiggins and plus Kuminga. It's how you do it. And Myers was doing it, was willing to do it until it just hit a wall. He hit the wall. He was even saying like 2019 and the whole franchise was kind of sagging back then. They restarted, but Bob, I think, left a part of his soul in 2018, 2019. Like, that part of him was never going to be regenerated as long as he was doing this job, because it was just so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd all agree, like, he had moved into a different phase of even his general manager duties this past year. I mean, like, obviously, look, the Draymond punch happens. He's the one trying to stitch it together. The Wiggins situation happens. He's the one next to Wiggins in the press conference. He's still front-facing. He's still putting out fires behind the scenes. But the nuts and bolts of the operation, he kind of ceded in a lot of ways.
The fact that he even said that Dunleavy was brought in to kind of, as part of it, now he kind of knocked down me saying, did you do it? Bring in Dunleavy purposely to set him up to be the next general manager. But I think there was some of that in the back of his mind. Like, this guy could be a general manager. He kept saying if he wants it. Like,
Mike has interviewed elsewhere. Yeah. Like, Mike, I think there was a thought from Bob, like, this guy's a future general manager. I don't think it was necessarily like he's going to be the next Warriors.
He took some of that role with the Warriors when Bob wanted less of it. So I think it's, you know, not hard to say, well, if you want to keep walking away from some of this responsibility, and the person to take it is Mike Dunleavy Jr. So we'll see. I mean, I think we all believe it's going to be him. But interesting that Bob said it, right? He said 2019, we brought Dunleavy in, and I think we can see how that progressed.
Well, I think one thing that really matters if we do shift it a little bit towards the Dunleavy conversation, Mike is a Bob guy. Mike was Bob's suggestion to bring in a lot of ways.
Bob's client.
Bob's client. But also he was hired because Bob wanted somebody that wasn't necessarily part of the Lacob tree. So if it does go to Mike Dunleavy, and we'll see, I feel like that is a relevant note, right? That it isn't just the entire organization necessarily shifting over to all of the, you know, Joe Lacob's wants and needs. Maybe. I don't know. How do you feel?
The crazy part is I don't think Kirk Lacob being the GM would equal that. It might look like that, but if there's anybody in position to say, yeah, no, Joe, I'm not doing that, it's probably Kirk, right? It's probably the one who's like, yeah, no, you're wrong, and I'm not doing that. Like, that's where
actually knowing the people behind the scenes is important compared to, like, what it looks like.
Absolutely. Symbolism is different than the reality.
No question, yeah. That's what I think. Like, when you hear about the players being concerned, right, I think the question is, like, if they have a certain idea, if they have a way things should go, like, who's going to go tell Joe it needs to be this way? that was Bob, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, like, Steph ain't picking up the phone and, like, going off on Joe. This is how it needs to be, right? Like, that was Bob. Now, whoever's in that place, like, that's going to be important. Because it ain't even, like, you. If you presume Draymond's coming back, like, Steph and Draymond will be as involved in whoever they get as anybody. So now it's like, yo, we got to deal with those conversations. What's the hierarchy? Like, how does it work? What's the communication platform? Like, and all that stuff starts after Bob is gone, right? July, right? Like, that's when Bob is gone. So whoever is there has to be somebody to manage that, because they're not going to sit on the sidelines and wait to see who management signs. But I do feel like, to me, it's wild. Like, Mike Dunleavy, he's clearly already established himself really fast. Is he telling Joe, yeah, no, nah, we're not drafting this guy. Like, no, we're not getting this guy that you really love. You think it's like you're wrong on this, and I got to figure out the way to make you see we're going to go another way. Like, is Dunleavy ready to do that? That's the question I got.
Well, Bob and Mike have clearly discussed this. Bob was, for, you know, you asked him, like, straight up, you know, if he thinks Mike's ready to take the job, and he, within it, I think there were hints within his answer that tells you that, like, Mike kind of knows it might be him, right? You know, the fact that he said that he has told Mike, I'll help with Draymond, yeah, which was kind of a funny comment, but it's like, oh, they've, like, had these discussions, and I assume, I actually would know that one of those, you know, talking points has been, like, how to deal with Joe.
Here's,
you know,
the question, TK. Does Joe want somebody who could say, yeah, nah, this ain't how it's rolling? Or is he like, I've been fighting this guy for a long time. He's got 4 championships. I need somebody who's just going to listen to me. Like, what do you think he needs?
It's a great point. I don't know. We all sat there and felt that energy that was coming from the podium today, which might lead you to believe that he would like more of someone who's going to go along with his. But again, who's not necessarily Kirk Lacob, by the way. I think, like, we've made this point before. Kirk Lacob argues with Joe more than anybody in the personnel shop. It's partly because he's Sonny. He can. But
he's the one guy who's like, yeah, I got to hear this.
Joe. But I do think, and again, people get mad at me because I talk to Joe a lot, but, like, Joe does get it. Like, he understands that there's frisson is good. Like, that's the whole VC thing. You kind of want creative tension. You don't want everybody agreeing with everything. Part of the great, you know, Jerry West and Travis Schlenk's great value of this team is they would both tell everybody no. The first thing you ask Travis Schlenk, what's his answer? No. I tell you, that's who he is. You have to prove it to Travis Schlenk. Jerry's very much the same way. I think they could use more of that. I know. I don't know if Dunleavy, and again, we don't know until Dunleavy or whoever it is has the job. But I think Lacob gets that there's some value in that, that you just don't want. And especially, hey, there's another party to this. Steve Kerr has some very strong opinions. You know, it wasn't, you know,
Steve leaves that to the
It wasn't Bob Myers who wasn't playing James Wiseman, right? It wasn't Bob Myers who said, I don't know about Kuminga. That's where Bob's incredible value was. Even though he probably agreed with Joe on a lot of this stuff with the young players, he would go to Steve and, like, how do we figure this out, mm-hmm, to tell Joe how we're doing this? How does this, you know, and Steve wasn't doing that. Steve doesn't go to, you know, like, people are saying, oh, you know, maybe Steve can be the gentleman. He ain't, doesn't want any part of that stuff.
Steve hates management. Like, being, not, he doesn't hate the people who are in management. He just didn't enjoy his time as a GM. He wants to be a coach. And by the way, like, that voice will still exist. I mean, it was clear today in the press conference. We all know, like, Steve Kerr wants to be this coach next season and wants to beyond it. Obviously, he doesn't, not currently under contract beyond it. So, I think a lot of what was in place this past season just really remains in place. Where the conversations that I think become the most difficult are Clay's extension. I think that gets a little thorny, just like that number.
Well, he's going to have to take a lot less for them to do an extension.
No, for sure. But I just mean, I think that because Bob's not here, that conversation becomes trickier. Yeah.
Like, the Wiggins deal was easier at a lesser number because Bob was there. Yeah. No question.
Well, I mean, look, Bob's friendly with Greg Lawrence, who's Clay's general manager. Like, those conversations are just easier when Bob is the mediator. I mean, that's what he's, like, best at, right? But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, like, this doesn't feel like some wow cultural upheaval. Obviously, this was kind of like a banner day, but they're going to kind of operate tomorrow like they were going to kind of operate today. They're doing pre-draft workouts. Mike Dunleavy and the Lacobs are in there running them right now. Larry Harris is in there doing scouting. He's been here forever. They're kind of the same in a lot of ways.
We won't feel like, uh-oh, until something happens. And something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Something always happens. This is the state of the Warriors, right? That's when it's like, oh, man, what are you doing?
Does Joe call Bob and like, hey, like, I'll give you like 100K, just like call Draymond a few times this week.
Call Draymond or call Jordan Poole. Oh. Hey, you know, like at some point, like to me, I hate to like minimize him to this, but like one of his great roles was as the crisis manager, right? As the
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, they've had some huge crises. Yeah. Huge. I mean, like just the Wiggins. I mean, even the Wiggins vaccination stuff, right? Who was prominent? That was Bob Myers. Mm-hmm. It was Steph, but it was Bob Myers. So I think the person who might really feel this is Steve Kerr. Draymond, for sure, who got name checked. But like Steve's got strong, I mean, you know, he's got strong opinions about their personnel, about the way they're going to play. We've seen it in these series. We've seen it through the season. And his guy, to his liaison, his conversation, his the way he talked it through was with Bob Myers. Does he have that relationship with Mike Dunleavy? I mean, he knows him. Like I asked Steve about him in the podcast a couple weeks ago. You know, he talks to him a lot now.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. When I go to road shoot-arounds, and, you know, Mike's on the road a lot during the year, like, you'll walk in and, like, Mike and Steve are over there, like, chatting, clearly about, like, rotation, you know, whatever. But, you know, and Mike is not Bob, but Mike's alike, personality-wise.
That's one thing. Like, yeah, he's got an ease about him, you know, which he didn't have as a player that much. Marcus and I can point out, but as an executive, he's chatty. He's, you know, thoughtful. You know, he's got somebody. He's not going to be an up tension, right? It's not going to be this all of a sudden.
He won't be on the podium crying about Warrior fans, will he?
I don't think so. But maybe, I don't know. Maybe more towards Portland fans, but. I think that part, that you know, the kind of ethos is there. I do think that. It's just there's some strong-ass personalities on this team. Yeah. And Bob was amazing about kind of stitching them together and coming to a consensus, even if it wasn't exactly what everybody wanted at exactly the same time. And we don't know if Dunleavy can do that. No, anybody can do it. You know, yeah. I mean, I was just trying to think who else – could have possibly have that role, and I can't think of
anything. He's in the front office. Sean Livingston is in the front office, but I don't get the sense that he's necessarily ready, or not like, oh, he's not, you know, capable, but I just don't think he wants necessarily this type of role. I mean, what do you think, Mark?
I don't think he's going to be here for long. I think he was directly tied to Bob Myers, I think. If you remember when he was kind of, when they were trying to figure out what to do, like, they were waiting on him, right? It was like, hey, are you going to do this? And it was Bob who talked him into it. So I could totally see where Sean's like, I was here for Bob. And if Bob's not here, I don't know if I want to be here. I also think he might want to do some other things.
Yeah, so, he's got to decide what he wants his career path to be. Does he want to be a lifelong exec?
Yeah, I would be surprised. Former player wandering in the hall before the presser today.
Zaza.
You know, Mike might have his own kind of guys. I don't know who they are. Duke guys, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's something we're all going to figure out if it is Dunleavy. But I think we can see kind of more Dunleavy feel. Yeah, it's not. Sean was. Hey, Bob signed Sean. Sean was like a classic Bob Myers guy. Yeah. And even when I talked to Sean, you know, when his players, like, oh yeah, Myers kind of guy. So there's those long, you know, defensive minded, thoughtful, you know, team guys. Those were Myers guy. Andre Iguodala, another classic Myers guy. And we'll see who Dunleavy's guys are, if it's Dunleavy. And again, I think we all think it will be.
Yeah, but they could lose Myers, Iguodala, potentially like Livingston, Kenny Atkinson.
Although, the Raptors, Kenny's still up for the Raptors.
I mean, potentially, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's some significant.
Yeah,
like,
after losing Mike Brown last year.
And, you know, what happens with. Now, I don't know, like, their relationship. I'm not saying he might be gone, but what does Larry do now, right? You know, was he waiting to be the successor to the throne? Mm-hmm. Like, and now he realizes, yo, I don't have a shot at this. Does he, you know, Larry Harris I'm talking about, right? Like, yeah. Or like, we don't know those dynamics. I mean,
it feels like it's one piece, but it could end up being a lot. Like, when it's all said and done, it could end up being, I mean, obviously we know who ain't going anywhere, right? If, you know, if you're a Lakeup, you straight, like, you're not going anywhere. So Kent, Kurt, and Joe will be there, you know, but it could be some significant changing of voices and some voices that matter. I know, like, Sean's role, it was a lot like Andre's. It was important. It's like the player, like, liaison, you know, always in Kuminga's ear. Like, I know Iguodala got a lot of credit for that, but a lot of that was Sean Livingston, no, too.
Spent, right? A lot of time with Jordan Poole in the playoffs. A lot of time
with
Jordan
Poole. And with Wiseman before, it was like he, that was kind of his role. And, you know, we'll get to the, I'll let to see whoever the new general manager is before we start talking about diversity on this front office staff, because they might be losing that too, right? Like, so, you know, it might not be dramatic instantly, but some things will be different.
If he's telling me he should bring in some people, I mean, his own people, like, that's his right. And I'm sure there's a lot of qualified people out there. I don't know who they would be, but they could do that. They could do a lot of interesting things. And we'll see what his vision is. I know we don't know what his vision is. We don't know. I mean, is it the same thing as Bob? Probably not exactly. Will it be like, hey, listen to Steve? Let's listen to Joe. I mean, I don't know.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, again, we covered Dunleavy, and I've talked to him a little bit since he's been. He's like, I know Slater, you've talked to him. Marcus, you've talked to him. Like, do you think he's general manager-ish? Do you feel that about him?
I've always thought, and, you know, I've chatted with him about this before, like, he got into it not knowing. Like, he did the whole, like, and I know Nick Collison, another guy I covered who's doing this with the Thunder, but, like, dipped his toe in the scouting world. Do I want to be in this? And he, Mike, right away was like, love this. Want to be in it? Moved from New York.
That was pretty big.
He was a pro scout in New York.
He's like the general manager, like the everything that was supposed to make him a great player and really made him have a really long career is what makes him a good general manager. Like the way he sees the game, like the way he understands it, like how much he loves it, right? Yeah. Like and all that. You know, my father was a coach player. Like all of those attributes, you can tell. Like. It's second nature to him, basketball. So, and in that sense, like, I know Bob is, like, you know, the former agent and, you know, Italian suit wearer, but that the part he talked about that I think a lot of people miss is, like, he's one of them hoop head diehards, constantly thinking about the game, constantly on the phone with Joe all day about the game. Mm-hmm. Mike's got that in him.
Oh, yeah, Mike's got that in him for sure.
He's a hoop head.
Yeah, Mike really does know the game. To answer your original question, like, yeah, I saw Mike being a GM elsewhere because I didn't, until this past year, see Bob leaving. Yeah. And Joe clearly didn't. Joe, until this morning, is still like adamant that Bob wasn't going to leave, even though people were clearly telling him it was for real. So, but, you know, again, to me, the big thing is like the conversations behind the scenes with the stars will dictate how swiftly this era does or doesn't end.
Yeah, I don't think they're prepared to start bringing it up. I mean, that's what I've gotten for weeks now. Like, everybody's under contract. That's what I've gotten. And it doesn't mean that's what it's going to say. I mean, Draymond might not be under contract. It's up to Draymond. But, like, there isn't a race to say, oh, my God, it's all over.
Because if it was another way, wouldn't we, like, if Bob was like, yo, I want to re-sign you, but I'm out, and I don't know what they're going to do after that, you might be gone. Like, it would have been on a podcast probably.
Yeah, well, like Draymond knew that there was a chance that Bob was leaving, and then he said at the press conference, yeah, "Hey, a good chance I'm coming back." Like that doesn't happen. I don't want to be too cynical here, but it's not like Draymond saying, "I only want to be a Warrior," and that's it. I won't think. Like he's looked around what the market is. I'm sure of this. What's available? Who could spend what? And he's come to the very smart conclusion that the team that he's best suited for, that probably can pay him at least close to the most, that he wants to play for.
And by the way,
that is with Bob Myers as GM or not.
The other thing, the other thing that, and reason why I think it informs Draymond's take on it is he's been given the indication that they do want him back, yeah. Right? Because remember his messaging midseason or go back to preseason. Writing is on the wall. This might be it. Remember, there was a time he was publicly saying, like, I might be done as a Warrior. Yeah. He's no longer saying that. And part of the reason he's no longer saying that is because indications are that they want him back too. Bob Myers, not even if Bob Myers isn't here.
Yeah, I agree. And that's Joe Lacob. That's Steve Kerr. It's probably Mike Dunleavy. I mean, like, these things get communicated in a way that Draymond would not have said what he said after the final game of the season without knowing a lot of this. Would not be surprised if there's some two-year deal, whatever, that comes out of this. And I would be surprised if Clay's done real fast. I just don't see the need for that. It's like, well, if you don't sign him, is he going to go sign somewhere else next year for sure? Like, you don't know that.
Again, it would have to be like a Wiggins situation where Wiggins took below market value because he really wanted
and
to.
And what's Clay's market value, by the way, right now?
Well, that's the thing. And Clay probably believes his market value will be higher after he has a great season next year, because that's just the way he thinks. So, no, I would expect Clay to be on an expiring deal next year. Yeah. I would agree.
I agree.
Joe, how about the CBA? I asked Joe kind of about the CBA rules.
Rules don't matter.
We win.
The bar he dropped, we're going to win no matter what. No matter what the rules are. Come on. Like, that's a rap lyric right there. Like, he just, Joe Lacob in that one line became like Logan Roy, like classic legendary figure. Warriors fans eating that up. They love it. Like, Bob Myers ain't stopping no show. That's what they want to hear from Joe. Like, you want Joe to be the gangster who, like, we win it no matter what. I mean, as much as he gets lit for the light years, people love that. So this was very, like, that was a bar. People are going to love that from him.
They're going to love it until, you know, he's got to show it with their decisions coming up this summer because we all know they're heading towards this bill.
By the way, that's the you have to keep committing the money that they've committed. That's if he says that and they don't commit the same amount of money, then there's going to be reasons to say this was hypocritical or whatever. And I believe he'll keep committing. There's a lot of commentary about how hard it's going to be, and it is. And these things are to strip away options for teams that are way over, like the Warriors are. But two things. Clay's coming off next season, possibly might not have that contract. That would free up a lot. They would drop under the apron without Clay's contract if they don't re-sign him or if they sign him for a lot less. Secondly, the restrictions are all about adding players, like not keeping the players. In fact, there is more emphasis, when you think about it, on keeping players because you can't replace them when you're over the apron. So I don't know that it's – I mean, again, it's going to be tough for them. They can't add another DiVincenzo. Like, that's a real thing. But
they've beyond not that, used the year they won the title, they didn't use the mid-level.
Exactly. They can't sign buyouts. They haven't signed buyouts. Like, it isn't as pressing on them as you might think it is, other than losing the mid-level.
Yeah, the real bad one, I think, for them is when you start to go repetitive years and we get, you know, as it goes to 2025, 2026, you either your draft picks get locked up via trade and suddenly all your draft picks start going 30th overall if you keep staying over the second apron, which they're not going to – like, that is really restrictive
team. They're going to drop below the second apron. I just think that's – and there's –
Since maybe this, not this year, yeah, but
no, but it doesn't kick in until next year anyway, most of these things. So, and you know what? If there is an explosion in the salary cap, which there could be, then that's going to push the apron up too. I don't think they're in terrible position as long as they're a good team. If they're not a good team, and they're not making the playoffs, and they're not getting the home dates, it's a very different situation. But I think the belief is with 30, they're going to be pretty good for at least a couple more years. Then they'll see what Kuminga is. And, you know, there's a whole lot of other things. Next year becomes a huge pivot point for this history of this franchise. Even with Myers out, Like, this is Steve Kerr on one more year of his contract. Steph's got 2 years. Clay's got 1 year. We don't know with Draymond. Like, this is – it's not going to be the last dance, but it's going to be something close to it, much more than this year was. I really believe that. I thought Myers might jump in one more year. Let's really do a last dance. He decided not to. I get that. But, like, there are – they got to figure out not this year, next year is the big, big deal, I think, in the coming kind of financial pressure. I think just what I've been getting from them is they think they can ride it through next season. They don't have to do a lot. And if Jordan Poole, we'll see. That could be a basketball decision, mainly. It might be to get off that contract a little bit, but mainly. But like the Wiseman trade was the main thing they had to do to set up for next season. I think just that they're okay financially, maybe with some adjustments. I don't think this huge stuff starts coming until next season. And that's when Clay's contract's gone.
And also, they've got some young, talented players who they could, you know.
Ryan Rollins.
Yeah, I mean, well, they could.
Chris Murray.
They got a pick coming in. They got Kuminga. They've got, you know, PBJ.
PBJ. Yeah, make sure you mention that one.
I feel like, you know, they could still.
Nico Mannion's still on the roster.
No, Nico Mannion is actually, I believe they're not picking up his QO because he's, I saw he's playing, somebody, I think an Italian outlet reported he's playing in Summer League for another team, which means.
Where's Justinian Jessup?
Jessup
probably out there somewhere.
Wow, we're getting too deep right now.
We're getting down there.
What's Smiley Geach's rights look like right now?
They still got rights on him somewhere?
Probably.
No, I think, you know, Santos. Moody is
Key Santos.
Moody.
That's a good poll.
Key Santos. Good Lord. Moody is such a big part of this. If he's good, that, you know, if they could just say, we go next season, Moses Moody's good, let's solve certainly some issues.
Am I wrong thinking Jonathan Kuminga is good? Like,
I think they got to play Kuminga. I mean, that's part half of my conversation with Kurt was like, you've got to play Kuminga. Like, there are minutes for Kuminga. Just don't play Anthony Lamb. Those are Kuminga's minutes. I think if they commit to it and if they don't feel as panicked as they were last season at 3-7 and Jordan Poole getting hit by Draymond, I think it's going to be a lot easier this season. So, you know, they've got a little more roster flexibility. But again, you know, Dunleavy's, what, 17th pick they got? What do they got? Something like that?
They have the 19th pick.
19th pick. You get a decent player in that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play right away, but I think, you know, we start to see what the vision, you know, the ideas that Dunleavy or whoever the GM is, and again, we're all assuming it's him, going to be some Duke guy. Is some Duke guy going to be there at 19 for them?
Derek Lively?
Yeah, that'd be pretty interesting for them. You know, just what his ideas are. What he sees, you know, I always laugh. Myers always drafted guys for the same size as he was. Like, that's Kuminga and all these guys, you know, Baldwin was a little bit taller. What is Dunleavy like in a player? Well, we can start to see a little bit.
I bet ball handling and passing. Yep.
He was big on the pool pick. He went and scouted Jordan Poole, and that was a good pick.
Yeah, so. Ball handling and passing. That's what I can see from him. Just people who can read the game and pass and dribble the ball. I think that's probably going to be his thing, which – is what works with Steph Curry, yep. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think Steph's going to argue with any of that stuff.
All right, we should probably just wrap it, you know, going back to Myers a little bit. You know, how many years was it, 11?
11 as GM, 12 overall.
12 in the organization.
I just remember when they hired him. Like, I knew, I obviously had a relationship with Bob. I covered him at UCLA. He was a source of mine when he was an agent. He was in the Arne Tellem office when Kobe Bryant was with the Lakers. I covered Kobe, so Bob was someone I talked to a lot, someone I talked to as an agent. He's Antoine Jameson's agent, Dunleavy's agent. I don't know if he was the lead agent on Dunleavy, but he was one of the agents for Dunleavy. Brandon Roy's agent, like, he was just a guy I knew. And, you know, I did start flashing to that. Like, I remember when they hired him, I was like, they are going to do something interesting here, and it's smart. I knew it at the time. I didn't know he was going to be this great. But it was a sign that they had some things on their mind that were different than just your run-of-the-mill team.
Just can you take some Kohan shots here, please?
Yeah, it's
with this run of the mill. You're not talking about a run of the mill team.
They're talking the neurotic, paranoid Warriors.
This is what I want to hear.
Gary St. Jean and all that whole thing. Everything was like mad at the world and everything. You know, they made these really half-assed, impulsive moves. And Myers was not that. He was not that from the beginning. He was like, if we're going to do this, we're going to have this ready and this ready and this ready. And that was not the way this team acted. This team like barely knew how to do a sign and trade before he got here. Barely. I mean, there were times like I felt like, do I have to call you up? I got a call from a Warriors person being mad at me for criticizing them. And I said, I need to explain to somebody how you do a sign and trade, because I don't think they knew. And Myers came in here with all that stuff. I mean, he's very modest about like people had to teach him how to do it. I think he knew how to do it. All this, like, you know, you move this pick to get this and that, and you don't make this trade until you have this trade ready. Like, they didn't know how to do that
the
stuff before.
Is, like, even if he needed somebody to explain it, he would understand when they explained it. Yeah. I don't think some of the people, even if you explained it, be like, hold on, all right, one more time. Base your compensation. I just don't get it. Like, run it by me again.
One through what? And Myers was always good. He was so sophisticated at that stuff.
But we're saying this, but what was his first big move?
Amnesty.
Charlie Bell.
Because he was sure he was going to get DeAndre Jordan. Because Arn told him that, his former boss. Like, you do this, you set this up. By the way, they cut Jeremy Lin to do this.
Jeremy Lin, Amnesty, Charlie Bell, who had 1 year, $4 million left on his contract, which was a total waste of the Amnesty, while Andres Bjelland's like $56 million was sitting there. Right, it was like all this to get DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan,
former client of Bob Myers. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was one of those things. Yeah,
sheet. Yeah.
That was like, not the greatest move in the history of the Bob Myers reign, but
especially after Jeremy Lin goes off. It's like, yeah,
one of Joe Lago's favorite players, Jeremy Lin. Yes. But this is all great stuff. But I'm surprised, by the way, that Myers mentioned Mark Jackson. I give him credit; he always credits Mark Jackson. You know, a little bit of a controversial figure with Joe Lacob sitting 8 feet from him. But that was a gutsy hire, too. I mean, that was Joe's hire. But Bob was part of that. Then they do the smooth move to Kerr. Like, all these things that Bob brought up makes you know that he felt they were important. And that this bumpy road that they took to this, you know, it wasn't this just, oh, we got Steph Curry, everything's great. That was not – I mean, they were struggling with Steph Curry. Got up a level with Mark Jackson, and then it just went to the whole new heights when they got Steve Kerr and all the other things that they did. It just was to hear Bob go through it. I was kind of going through it just because we were here, not you, Slater, but Marcus and I were here. Marcus gets a shout out by Myers, by the way. Myers has no recollection of
and Rusty Sin.
Yeah, because you weren't here every day.
I wasn't there.
Yeah,
I wasn't going through that. I was in the ditches with you guys.
What, 23 games that first year? Like, TK was like, yeah, I'm not there.
Treating him like the Giants before this recent win streak. Now suddenly he's back on the Giants.
You got to show it to me. But it just,
treat him like the A's, I should say.
I think a lot of that gets forgotten.
The Harbaugh era, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had other things to do.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, but
Giants, you want to know which one today?
Dealing with the lowly.
And this is one I've...
I know this because I used to be happy whenever Tim Kaine was a beat writer, because number one, he would steal my ideas. Like,
I would not. I feel like this is about to be a therapy session that had nothing to do with Bob Myers.
But, like, you know, I'd have to spend the entire game explaining what the heck was happening to whoever was coming. So, yeah, I remember vividly being like, oh, we got TK.
How were the pregame, like, coach scrums? Just you and Mike Montgomery just out in the hall.
Oh, man. Oh, that's the other thing. They had Mike Montgomery. You was it.
No, that was way long time ago. That was a long time. That was before, but way before Bob Myers. That's when Bob Myers' agent going, no, I don't want my guys. That was the funny part. It's like he had Tariq Evans, I think. And I think I remember, like, I called him up. Like, you're gonna Tariq work out with Warrior? Oh, no, we're not working out with Warrior. Like, this was like, I knew this stuff when he was the agent for these guys, and he didn't want his guys to go to the Warriors. Like, because he had Jameson there, he'd had Dunleavy there. Like, they weren't that interested in going to the Warriors. I think, I'm pretty sure Tariq did not work out with the Warriors that season. And it just was like, was to go from that, to go from that position, knowing the league and knowing what the Warriors were, to where they are or where they were certainly in 22 and 18, 17, all that. It was quite a journey, and Bob brought it up. And so, I mean, I kind of forgotten about some of this, but I'm glad he brought it up. I mean, it was an immense move. It was an immense amount of things they had to do to get there. And it was Steph Curry, but it wasn't just Steph Curry.
Yeah, the one that, I mean, stands out to me, and obviously, like, I was very much involved really on the other side of this. But, I mean, the KD move, the Kevin Durant free agency move, was talked about by both Bob today, who included saying Kevin Durant from Monaco called him this morning yeah. when he saw the news. I thought that was interesting.
Did KD go watch Verstappen with
the probably. KD, I don't know. You might know. But, you know, and this is not anything we don't know how involved Myers was in pulling off the Durant thing, but even Joe getting up there and saying like this was his move, and
Iguodala one too, yeah.
Yeah, the Iguodala one he mentioned.
Was legendary, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean the Durant one is one of the top 3 to 5 like biggest free agency moves in ever
history, yeah.
in history.
LeBron, and KD.
Yeah,
probably those four.
So like that's like
no question. I mean,
you know, Bob, that's his legacy.
We know Bob planned for this for 2 years. Like, for this possibility.
That's the part. Yeah. People were like, we were hearing about this, like, 2015. Like, so, yeah, that was a long con that was happening there. That was, like, Ocean's 11-esque.
And it was because of his relationship with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman, I think, is, like, massively
and
involved.
Also, I mean, again, I keep saying this. He knew he could move Bogut. Like, you had to trade Bogut to do this. And, like, you couldn't just... Hey, we're going to sign Kevin Durant, and now we got to figure out what to do with Bogut. Like, he had that deal done. He had the deal, the Harrison Barnes, like, all this stuff he knew. I do this, then I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Well,
and
the cap Durant, spike, yeah, all that.
The cap spike. These were all things, like, he had this multidimensional sense. And I'm not saying not just him, but he was leading that. And so they could go out and say, in 18 months, we're going to have this amount of money. If we do this, this, and this, we're going to have this trait set, like, I want to ask Mark Cuban, like, why did you trade for Bogut? If you don't trade for Bogut, they might not be able to do the Durant deal. Obviously, maybe had another deal that he could have done. But, like, he had to have all that lined up. Not just, like, we could do it. It's like, this was a done deal once they signed Durant, because it had to be. This was the Myers error to me. And he got credit for it, and he should get credit for it. And he brought it up, and I'm glad Laker brought it up. Like, these are things that other teams don't do. I mean, you know, there's Danny Ainge does them, the Heat do them, but not that many other teams do this stuff. And they won 73 games, lost since game 7, and like Joe's talking about it, maybe it's like not great, you know, maybe kind of against, well, they were working on Durant like hours after that game. Like they were in conversations. I'll say they were in some thought, like maybe they go after LeBron. Because LeBron was a free agent that year. They weren't going to get him, but that's where this front office went from where they were with Gary St. Jean and all the others to with Bob Myers. Like they were like, we win 73, lose game 7, let's go get Durant. And if we can't get Durant, what about LeBron? Like that's Bob Myers. And it's going to take a lot to replace that. Plus the relationships, plus the integrity. Like this guy is a Hall of Fame executive. I imagine he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. And I thought, you think guys going to be back in the league? Is he going to be back running the team?
Yeah, I think eventually, probably.
Yeah, I think in a year he's going to take a look around. Clippers might be available, you know, like one of those situations.
And I think that's part of the deal. Like, he wouldn't say it, but I think when he took this job, like, he wasn't calling any shots, right? Like, it was like, I'm going to do all of this stuff. He goes to another team now. He's a king maker, right? He's not.
He's Pat Riley.
Yeah. I think he wants to be that. Now you can kind of have all this, you know, personal stuff. You can be a family man and all that and call your shots. I don't think he wants to be.
Well, it's a little bit why the Clippers long-term, if that Lawrence Frank situation, Jerry West situation dissipates, makes sense, because you have Steve Ballmer who can pay whatever you want, and Steve Ballmer is supposedly not that involved in the basketball decision-making.
Jerry loves him. Jerry loves him. And Jerry doesn't love his owners very often, including this one. So I think that goes a long way with Bob Myers. We'll see if that.
And it's
that,
LA, which we all know.
Absolutely. And I expect Bob to move to LA. I mean, I just think that's going to happen. I think that was part of this. That's where, you know, his family wants to be. That's where he should be. I was thinking one way the Warriors could try to finesse this is like, hey, go ahead, live in LA. You're team president. Make Dunleavy the general manager. But I get what a sense from Bob is even if they offered that, he would feel like he's not putting his soul into it. You don't want to half-ass it. He can't go to Draymond and say, hey, you know what, you got to do this if Bob isn't there every day. So he either was going to do this job 100%, he wasn't going to do it from L.A., and I respect that, you know, walking away from possibly $14, $15 million, respectable, but I don't think he's going to be hurting for offers in that level of money into the future. I think you might want to try Disney. I think he could be a Disney executive. I think he could, you know, do a lot of things that way. I think he could run for political office. But him saying how much he loves basketball, like, I think he'll be back in running a team at some point in a different way, in a Pat Riley kind of Danny Ainge. And you know, that's part ownership. I mean, you know, that could happen. Could it happen here? But, you know, Lake made a line, you know, said something like he could come back here. I think he came back here, he'd want to be part owner. I don't know, you know, where that would all fall in his options, but I think he's going to be back in basketball too.
All right. Well, we will do another press or another podcast probably. Well, maybe when they name a GM, which, you know, my feeling is it's going to be a pretty quick process. Very likely to be an internal candidate. Obviously, well, we've discussed that.
I love to read this stuff. The fact that Dunleavy, one of Bob Meyer's closest friends, was not there was very, like, it wasn't a sign that he wasn't going to be it. It's a sign that he is going to be it. Because if Dunleavy shows up there, then we start thinking about Dunleavy. It's not about Bob Myers. He would have been there otherwise. I think he knows that he's likely to be the next guy, and that's why he wasn't there.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we will talk to you probably maybe post GM hiring if it's a day that makes sense. If not, there's draft coming up. There's free agency coming up. We'll talk, you know, with big situations in this offseason, an interesting offseason. So talk to you then.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.